morning, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study, Matthew chapter 13. Good to have each of you here with your Bibles ready to study. In the book of Matthew, in the 13th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not so long ago, I was in a meeting, and when I preached a sermon identified as things worse than fire, and it was in regard to hell, I had some individuals come to me and say they have not heard a sermon on hell in some time. And it made me wonder if in our preaching, we've gone from one extreme to the other. I remember my grandmother saying when she grew up in Ashland City, Tennessee, that some preachers would come out of Nashville and they would preach on hellfire, and it'd make you want to get under the pew as you thought about your eternal soul. But somewhere along the line, we've neglected preaching on hellfire. And as we come back to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, you'll find the Lord Jesus is teaching again in parable, and mostly in respect to the kingdom of heaven and the likeness. And there are many wonderful lessons that Jesus brought forth from the parables. But in this lesson, we see that the good and the bad were to be separated. He brought out the fact that there were some that when they were dragged out of the sea, they were separated, and thus, he said, they threw away the bad and kept the good. And I thought about that here is some that we look at today who when they come to a local church will say, you know, preacher, I would attend more often, but there are hypocrites amongst you. But have you ever noticed there are hypocrites in every place? And what I learned from Matthew 13 is there will be a day of judgment when God will be the one who will put the good where they need to be and cast the bad where they need to be. That there will be a judgment day. That there will be a day of separation, the righteous from the wicked. And what I'd like to talk about as we think about this morning is the horrors of hell. And what I want to think about is what Jesus said in verse 50. When he talks about the separation of the wicked from the just in verse 49, he said, and cast them into the furnace of fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to think about the fear and dread and all the people in hell and see the horror of it. The first thing I want to put into our mind is, hell will be a place of horror because of the fire. In your Bible in Matthew 13 and verse 50, notice he said they will be cast into the furnace of fire. Now there are many people that will question whether hell is literally a fire. But if you take your Bible, turn over to the book of Matthew and the 18th chapter. And at the last part of verse 8, notice that he talks about everlasting fire. And then if you drop down to verse 9, he talks about hell fire. I begin to think that when Jesus is referring to heaven, he is talking about a literal fire. Now some may say, well, he's just describing the pain. All I know is that in the Bible, Jesus, when he talked about hell, time and time again, talked about unbearable heat. He talked about fire. If you take your Bible and look in the Revelation letter and the 19th chapter, you can read in verse 20 where it talks about fire and brimstone. So my friend, I want to get into my mind and into your mind this place of torment, this place separated from the God, this place called hell would be horrible, and I can see that one of the horrors would be fire. Being in eternal fire, separated from God. But the second thing that came to my mind when I began to think about the horror of hell, I thought about how horrible it would be because of its inhabitants. Just who is in hell? Hell has been described with her inhabitants. And I think about the horror of the people that make up that place of torment. In your Bible, in Matthew 13, remember what Jesus said in the parable. After the separation, when he came down to make the application, he said that there will be, in verse 49, the wicked. Have you thought about the wicked? I want us to get into our hearts this morning that those that are in hell will be the people that are wicked, evil. The most wicked and vile people that have ever lived on the face of the earth will be part of the inhabitants of hell. People who have been murderers and rapists and killers and all sorts of things, these are the people that make up the people that will be in hell, the most wicked and vile of people. But then secondly, the people who say there is no God, they will make up hell. Open your Bible to the 14th Psalm, and you'll find that the psalmist said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he noticed what he said about those people. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Notice that the people who deny there is a God do not fear God and thus do not fear hell. But when they wake up in hell, notice, my friend, they are corrupt. There's no good work among them. Here on earth they may be men of wisdom, but in eternity they will be individuals in eternal damnation. But the third thing I want to bring to your mind is from the 9th Psalm. If you go back to Psalm 9, notice with me something else. In the 9th Psalm, notice, if you will, that the writer talks about nations. And these are nations that turn from God. All nations that forget God. In the Psalm, look at what he said in Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Individuals that purposefully and willfully leave God out of their life. All nations that forget God will be in this hell. Rulers of such nations. And so when I begin to think about the inhabitants of hell, I begin to recognize wicked, vile, corrupt, unbelieving people will make up this place of eternal damnation. But then if you have your Bible, notice in the book of Jude, verse 7, that wicked angels will be there. Or you could look in 2 Peter 2, 4, as they're almost parallel passages. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, they will be in this place. But then I want you to think about something else. If you take your Bible, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. When you come to 2 Peter chapter 2, notice, if you will, at this time when Peter is writing, to the individuals throughout the churches of Asia, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." You know what Peter's saying? Hypocrites in the church will be in that place. People who just pretended to be righteous but weren't really righteous. People who pretended to be individuals that loved God but truly didn't love God. They too will be there with all the other wicked people of the earth. People who did not fully follow the Lord Jesus Christ. People who acted one way but lived a completely different other way. But then in your Bible, in the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter, you'll find ones who's not named in the book of life. They will be in that place of eternal damnation. Ones who did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may have been good moral people. They may have helped their neighbor. They may have done a lot of good works. But they never put on Christ in baptism. Thus their name was never penned in the book of life. These are individuals that will be cast into everlasting torment. But then I'll tell you something else. The devil himself will be there. Have you ever thought in Matthew 25, 41 that that is his punishment? And that he will be there with the rest of the crowd? And what a whore hell will be in regard to the people that make it up. I remember one time asking my mother when I was a little boy, what will hell be like? And she said, son, I really don't know how to describe hell. Except, can you imagine souls on fire, people on fire, running into each other, and you're seeing the most vile, wicked people who've ever lived. And you know what that did? That put a certain amount of fear in my heart as a child. The last thing I wanted to do was be around the most wicked people for all eternity. I can't imagine forever. I couldn't imagine it then, and I can't imagine it now. And I'll tell you, my friend, to think about being separated from God and the horror of being with the most wicked and vile people that ever lived and the devil himself. Not to see any goodness at all. Not to have any rest at all. Not to be able to have relief from the fire at all. I'll tell you, that put fear in my heart. But there's a third thing. Hell will be a place of horror because of the activities there. Have you ever stopped to notice how the Bible describes the activity of hell? Look back in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, notice he said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that means to grate the teeth. Have you ever thought about what kind of pain there is to grate the teeth? And to know there will be eternal wailing and weeping and sobbing? And to recognize there will be a thirst that shall never be quenched, as we read in Luke 16. There will be no satisfying the thirst there. There will be no rest in hell. In Revelation 14:11, it will be a continuing thing, day and night, just to think about the pain that one will suffer. Someone may say, these are figures of speech. All right, let's just say they are. So what? Are they figures of comfort or are they figures of pain? I'll tell you something, my friend. Strange to show a figure of speech for comfort and then the figure of horrors of hell. I'll tell you something. When I think about hell, it puts fear in my heart. But I'll tell you something else. I think hell will be horrible, and I can think of a horror of hell would be having a memory. There is nothing that can haunt one any more and bring despair than memory. Memory of the sins that put you there, never to be forgotten. Even though you could have had them taken care of while you're on this side of eternity, Paul, who called himself the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15, did. And we could have our sins blotted out. And the memories will linger there. Memories of people who loved you and prayed for you, you will remember. You'll remember the love of Christ that you rejected in John 3:16. You'll remember every gospel sermon you heard time after time and the many times you rejected that sermon. You remember people begging and pleading with you to make your life right. And I'll tell you, my friend, of all the things in hell that I think that will torment people, it will be their memory. When you think about the sacrifice God made in order to save you from that place, and you rejected it, and you continued to reject it until you finally end up there. And how ungrateful you were to your family and friends and others by not setting the right example, and the silly excuses offered not to obey God, and the memory of every time you rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's a place of horror right there. But I'm going to tell you something else. Hell will be a horror because it lasts forever. There's no rest. In Matthew 25:41, he said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Just as long as life is eternal for the righteous, hell will be eternal for the unrighteous. And I don't know about you, but I would hate to live a life of suffering and trials and troubles here and then lose my soul in hell. I'll tell you, hell is real. If heaven is real, then hell is real because Jesus used them both in the same verse in Matthew 25. And can you imagine being in hell forever? Why would anyone want to go to hell? And yet there's no reason for you to desire to go there, and there's no reason for you to go there. Because Jesus paid the price to keep you out of hell. Yet so many people would rather live now and enjoy the passing pleasure of sin now and reject heaven. There's going to be a lot of people in hell because they wanted their fun now. And they said, now's the time to live it up. Now's the time to enjoy things. Now's the time to do what I want to do. And they trade now for eternity. I'll tell you, you just haven't thought about how horrible hell will be. And if you're here and you're not a child of God, you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, I want you to think about the horror of